The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the traveling Built Ford Tough studio here from Glen Oaks Club in Old Westbury. It's a Boomer Esiason Foundation golf outing number 31, where a lot of money is raised for the foundation. Generally, I will introduce all the guests because I'm just better at it than Boomer is. But with this one, I'm going to allow him to introduce it on his day. What's going on, Boomer? Let's hear it.
It is our day, actually, and Gunnar's been the face of our foundation since he was diagnosed back in 1993. He was past his second birthday in 1994. He was 3 years old. That was his first golf tournament at Sands Point, and here he is at 33. And quite frankly, it's nothing short of a miracle that he and others like him are here. It's due in large part to the way that he was raised. His mom took care of him like he meant the world to her and to all of us. And of course, he had to support that fight and taking care of himself, which he has done and has done so well. And then 2018, a major breakthrough. So there he is, Gunnar Esiason. Gunnar, it's great to see you, bud.
Hey, everyone. We're going to stop saying my age eventually. You keep getting older.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, when we first started this thing, the median age, and I know you hate talking about median age when it comes to cystic fibrosis, was 19. And I remember Dr. Wilmot, your first doctor, told us that he thought you'd be able to go to college. And you end up going to Boston College, but then you graduate and you come out of Boston College and you felt like you were at end stage illness, which would have meant a double lung transplant.
Yeah, some pretty rough days back then. When I graduated, basically felt as though I was close to end stage disease. I mean, if you remember back then, I was in and out of the hospital almost every other month, if not more frequently. Lots of time at interventional radiology at Northwell Health in Manhasset, and then also even more time at Columbia in New York City. But cystic fibrosis is fortunately a really positive story. I think we like to say that we've played a small part in that, and you know, we've done that in parallel to the National CF Foundation and all the other patients and families out there across the world who have marshaled this disease to where it is today, to the point where I am in my 30s and able to be quite healthy on a Monday morning here, ready to play golf.
Yeah, not only are you in your 30s, you're married and you have two of your own children, which is even more of a miracle, because men who are born with cystic fibrosis basically are born with a natural vasectomy. You don't have a vas deferens, so therefore you can't become the biological father unless you do what you did. And I know you and Gio had a funny interaction on our show about the differences about IVF and how it changed your life and what you had to go through compared to what he had to go through.
Yeah, I mean, IVF is one of those technologies that's just amazing. It's right. It really is a miracle in a science experiment. I don't want to relive my part of it, for sure. But I mean, as you know, like the woman's side of IVF is so much more difficult than any thing that the men have to go through, and my wife Darcy's done a great job with it. Now we're blessed to have two healthy young little kids.
Yeah, and the program that you guys have started as the foundation continues to make steps forward with IVF and CF is just, it's so fun to watch, because you sort of unveiled this at one of the booming celebrations, and you know, IVF's important to our family, and to see some of the people living with CF to get the grants to be able to have a family is like, I mean, I can't, like, that's one of those things where you can't but cry when you see it. So how's that program going so far?
Yeah, you know, I think the foundation in a lot of ways has mirrored my life and sort of the needs that I've had as a patient with CF. And as we've now gotten older, and a lot of patients are much more healthier because of Trikafta and the medications that are now supporting livelihoods with CF, we've launched the IVF assistance program for adults with CF who want to be to do family building. So today we've awarded 22 grants, 17 men, 5 women with CF. Women with CF also have infertility for various reasons. And to date, we've had 5 BEF babies who have been born.
Wow.
So, when this golf outing started 31 years ago, it was all about extending lives, and now we're at a point where the foundation is giving life. So,
yeah,
if that's not the sign of medical progress, then I'm not sure what is.
And it's so important for people who don't know. I mean, the process of IVF, if your insurance company does not cover it, is just massive, and you got to make a decision. You know, as we did, you know, how deep are you going to go into your pocket to make this happen? And, you should say, like, well, it's priceless to have a family, but there is a price because it gets to a point where you're like, I'm underwater. So these grants are just, it's massive for families.
And this is where the intersection of golf in my life changes the lives of so many other CF people, because I was on a golf trip with a guy whose name is Adam. I won't use his last name. He knows if he's listening now who I'm talking about, because he had a hook into one of these infertility clinics, and it's called Kind Body. And he gave me an opportunity to call into them, to talk to them if they would want to do a program with us. And then Gunnar's wife, Darcy, basically took over that program because of what IVF has meant to their family. Mm. And then next thing you know, we have a partnership with Kind Body, and that Kind Body relationship is what kicked off this whole thing. And it all happened on a golf course.
Yeah,
absolutely. And Kind Body's been a great partner, and it's since expanded to also include Boston IVF, which is a little bit of a misnomer. It's also a national IVF network. And they've both been fantastic partners. Today it's about $300,000 awarded to CF families. So while we've only had 5 babies so far, we're definitely expecting more. We've got about 4 on the way so far, beyond those 5 initial who have been born, and we're hoping for the best for the rest of our families.
Do you remember your first golf tournament?
Do I remember the first golf tournament? No, but I do remember playing golf in Arizona with you when you threw me out of the golf cart. when you were playing for the Cardinals, we lived like in one of those golf course communities. And back then, Arizona was not what Arizona is today. There's no highway system. It was sort of like the one long, Western style road with the tumbleweeds and everything, and we lived at this beautiful golf course at basically at the end of one of the roads,
Desert Mountain.
Yep. And as a 5-year-old playing golf, I was obviously super bored. And so to make it more exciting, he decided he would jackknife the golf cart on the desert sand. There's no golf cart roads.
Yeah.
And throws me out the side of the golf cart, and I land like maybe 6 inches from a cactus.
Oh.
And
yes. He did that to me, too.
Yeah.
He didn't know whether to cry. He wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So and Mike Norseth, our very dear friend who supports us every year, is there, and he's up on the green looking down at this, and he's like staring like, what is going to happen here?
Yeah, Father of the Year here.
Yes. I look over and I'm like, get your ass up and let's go. Come on. So I didn't give him a chance to cry. But ultimately, don't you remember playing with Brett Favre?
Yeah, I do. I mean, in the old days, it was all like a very celebrity driven event,
yes.
Right? Steve Young came and Brett Favre was there.
Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, all those guys, Bernie Kosar, Phil Simms, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we all ended up supporting each other. And I remember because Brett Favre, at that time, you were a huge Packer fan.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Because of the G on the helmet.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's a whole other set of circumstances and stories. And we went to Lambeau Field a bunch of times. And so I remember that. Gio asked me, he goes, does Gunnar know Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, of course I've met Aaron Rodgers. And as a huge Packers fan, of course a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. And even as he's moved on to the Jets, still a big Aaron Rodgers fan, and have been wanting the Jets to do well. So now I feel as though I'm like a suffering Jets fan.
Oh, God.
You're not suffering as much as he is right now. But I was telling Gio about the awkward first introduction that you had to Aaron Rodgers in Cincinnati. I don't want to go into the whole thing.
Yeah.
But how old were you when you met him?
I must have been in high school.
It was his rookie year, right?
Exactly. I was actually, interestingly enough, I was at that NFL draft, which, by the way, like in the old days, the NFL draft was like the most boring event ever.
It's like a
night and day thing. It's so much better now. So as a ninth grader at the NFL draft, I was like, wow, this is a super boring thing. Can only imagine how the guys who like aren't getting drafted feel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was actually at that draft. And then they had a game at Cincinnati a few years, maybe a year or two later, and that's where I met him.
Yeah. So you drive me nuts for one reason. There's one thing I don't like about you, and it's you hit the hell out of the golf ball, and you don't play golf because you don't like it that much.
I wouldn't say that I don't like it that much. I would say I just don't have time. Like, I really have – I have not played golf since last October because –
See?
Crazy. And it is crazy.
His swing is unbelievable. He could drive the ball 300 yards. He doesn't play.
Yeah, no, he doesn't play.
I would kill to have that swing right now. If there's some way I could extract it out of you and give it to me, I would take it.
I mean, it is fun, and I do enjoy it. But, I mean, there's, like, trade-offs that you make in life as a dad, right? Like,
yeah.
There's certain things...
He's living the same life you are.
There are certain things you're willing to spend the brownie points on. Like, for me, I'd rather go skiing than, you know, like, spend, like, you know, 6 or 7 Saturdays playing golf. So that's where I'm at in my life right now.
You know, the amazing thing about him wanting to go skiing, which is really, truly another amazing aspect of cystic fibrosis, the higher you go, the harder it is to breathe. And the fact that this is what he wants to spend his time doing, going up 7,000-10,000 feet when he goes out to Utah or Wyoming, or he went to Montana this year.
Yeah, Montana a couple years
ago. Yeah. I mean, like, it's amazing that this is where his life is after all of the things that we've been through, that he's been through, and CF families have been through. The miracle of medicine and the invention of biotechnology and biosciences and the interaction of raising money and creating an opportunity for something and watching him now, that's the true miracle of what this whole thing is about.
What's the next thing for the foundation? What's the next iteration of all the great work that you're doing?
Yeah, so I think the foundation has a few priorities. One of them is supporting patients in the here and now, like with our IVF program. The scholarship program has been one of our longstanding things. And then we also have an emergency hardship relief program for patients and families who are going through very difficult times. Like, for example, right now, patients who live in areas affected by Hurricane Helene. But beyond that, there are research priorities that we have. One is aging with CF. People with CF are actually at a much higher risk of age-related cancers like colorectal cancer, kidney disease, pancreatic cancer, and we don't really know why, right? So that's a huge area of research. Two, antimicrobial resistance, and to not get too science-y on the show here before we start losing listeners, it's a real issue that not only affects people with CF, but also global health at large. So that's a priority of ours. And then three is reproductive and sexual health for people with CF, right? Because as we've found out, when my wife and I were going through IVF, it was very difficult to get resources to know how to basically know what to do, right? We had to leave the CF clinic, go to an IVF care center, and we were sort of like out in the wild. And what we ended up doing was actually asking other patients and families with CF what they did to pursue family building. Like, we couldn't even get answers from the medical system ourselves. So that's also now a huge priority for the foundation too. So those few things together is really where we're headed. And then beyond that, there's about 10% of the CF population that unfortunately does not benefit from the current suite of medications that have changed my life because of the genetic mutations that lead to their disease. So for us, that's also a huge part. And there's no rest for the weary, especially when you have that number of patients out there who are still suffering from cystic fibrosis, the classical sense of cystic fibrosis.
Gunnar Esiason, great to see you as always. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon and have a great day out there.
Good luck.
So I haven't played since October, so if you see golf balls flying around, just keep your head on the swivel out there.
I think you're in front of me, not behind me, right?
I am behind you. So
oh, you are?
If you do not hurt, if your pace of play is not considered, golf balls will be landing on the green.
All right.
Very good, Gunnar. Great seeing you.
Thanks.
It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. One more update here for Jerry, who's also got moment of the day. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning to you. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us. And the story of the day are the baseball playoffs and the two games the Mets and Phillies played, because they were quite dramatic, as they say. So much so that the Phillies wound up beating the Mets in game two in their final turn at bat.
McGill sets. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball line down the left field line. It's a base hit, and the Phillies win the game. Around third, coming home is Turner. He scores standing, and the Phillies pour out of the dugout and mob Nick Castellanos between first and second. His game-winning single to left has given the Phillies a 7-6 win and even the National League Division Series at one win apiece.
And going back to Citi Field for games 3 and 4, Howie Rose with the call on Mets Odyssey Radio. Nick Castellanos not only had that single, but he also had a home run in this game, an RBI single in the ninth to win it, and the Phillies take game 2. Tyler McGill was the losing pitcher. He was the one that faced Castellanos in that spot. Here he was talking about, I mean, he's a starting pitcher, and he came in relief in a big spot. Here's McGill.
No challenge, same old, just coming out in a different role. At the end of the day, just going to make pitches. Happened to get one away from me and cost us game.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, it's hard to believe exactly everything that they're saying, but I don't know.
It reminds me of Maton. It's sort of like the same mentality. I feel like Jeremy Hefner sort of has this. You make good pitches, sometimes they hit them, and I think that it works. Most of the time, it's just impossible for fans to hear that after the game and not be a little bit annoyed. You know, yeah, I've looked at the iPad, didn't look so bad. You know, or McGill, like, ah, you know, I just made the pitches. They just, I mean, that, you know, you look back at the replays, it's like you could, it's right down the middle.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
what are we doing?
I mean, the other thing, too, is that, you know, they're trying to catch the batter off balance. They're trying to throw him a pitch that he's not expecting. And then if you go back to the batter and you ask him about that particular pitch, he may say to you, you know, I was expecting that pitch. I knew it was coming and I was all over it.
Yep.
So there's always two sides of this. But I do think there's something to be said about Jeremy Hefner as the pitching coach. You're going to have a bad outing. We understand that. You got to flush it, but you got to come back, and you got to be ready to go again. And maybe that's what we're hearing from these pitchers when they do fail.
Yep. Here was Carlos Mendoza talking about McGill, kind of what we're discussing, using him in the ninth inning.
When you're facing that part of the order, you know, it's one after another, you know. So he was careful with Turner. He can take you deep as well. And then obviously you got to pitch around Harper, and we just left that slider. I think it was too good of a pitch for Castellanos, and that's another good hitter, and made him pay.
Okay. And just thinking about that, too, Devin Williams of the Brewers said the same thing when he gave up the home run to Alonso. Good pitch, what can you do? Yeah. And probably not what the fan base wants to hear. Here was Mendoza in terms of the team. They had a lead, then they grabbed the lead again after they gave it up, then they fall behind, lose this one, but the team continues to battle.
Same. You know, I mean, we came back in the ninth inning after losing the lead. So, off day tomorrow, and can't wait to play in front of our fan base. It's been a while, so we'll be ready to go.
Right, and it has been a while. That's what Brandon Nimmo was basically.
And they've given their fan base is us. They've given us a lot to be proud of, and they've given us a lot of unbelievable moments in the last 2 weeks.
Aside from when they were 11 games under, and aside from 0-5, pretty consistent season.
Well, since the second half of the season, they've been one of the best teams in baseball, record-wise.
If not the best, because the Tigers had the big September, but you're right. Here is Nimmo talking about playing at Citi Field. Hell, being in New York again.
Probably going to feel like a vacation home. You know, it's been a while, and, you know, we're excited to get back to the Mets fans. I'm just most excited to see what's...
It's going to be hopping, and it's a nice 5:08 start on Wednesday for Game 3, which should be good. Your pitching matchup will be Sean Manaea and Aaron Nola. Again, the series tied 1-1. Eddie, I'm skipping Rob Thompson again. Don't want to hear from him. Padres beat the Dodgers 10-2. San Diego just flat-out out-hit L.A., and so they go home with the series tied at a game apiece. You've got the Yankees and the Royals Game 2 tonight at the stadium. Carlos Rodon, 16-9 in the season with an ERA of 3.96, taking on Cole Reagans. He was 11-9. ERA of 3.14. The Yankees taking game one on Saturday night, and then they get another day off again tomorrow. Off for a week, play one game off, game off.
Doesn't make any sense. And hopefully it doesn't hurt the Yankees. They were obviously seemed like a sloppy in game one, but this Reagans, his record, his win-loss record doesn't look great, but he's a really good pitcher for them, just looking into it a little bit more. That's what I was watching them the whole year, so this will be critical for the Yankees offense, man. You do not want to see them have one of those really cold nights.
Yeah, and you said, let me ask you this, the feel at the stadium. Everyone says the Mets-Padres a couple years ago felt kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
Is that what that felt like?
I wouldn't say lackluster, it's just they were way more nervous than I expected. Yeah. I thought they were going to, like, be out for blood. You know, I think that the previous series of them not hitting and some of these disappointing finishes has gotten into the Yankee fans' head. I mean, it used to go in there and it was like, no matter who you're playing, we're going to beat you. We're better than you, in your face type of stuff. I didn't get that vibe on Saturday night. But that could change quickly, man, if they have one of these offensive explosions that Aaron Judge is a part of.
And we'll see if that is tonight. We will have it for you right here on The Fan. All right, the late game for us yesterday, NFL-wise, was the Giants and the Seahawks, and the Giants making a huge play on special teams to secure the win.
Snap is good. Kick on its way. And it's blocked by the Giants. They got pressure up the middle, and they scoop it up. Running down the left side is Houston. He's to the five, and he's in for the score and a touchdown. Bryce Ford Wheaton is the one that picked it up.
He jumped right over the center there and blocked it. That is such a great play.
Bryce Ford Wheaton off the bounce returns it for a score.
And that capped at 29-20. It was Isaiah Simmons that blocked the punt, and Bryce Ford Wheaton scores in the game. Daniel Jones, 257, couple of touchdowns. Darius Slayton, 8 for 122, and Tyrone Tracy had 129 yards rushing. Here was Brian Daboll on that play call, because that was a designed field goal block, and they came through.
Put a lot of trust in your assistants. So Gobi thought it would be a good, you know, he showed me a few clips of... And we held it, too. We were, you know, I kept asking for it during the game. I thought, you know, we probably had a chance at it. And Gobi's like, I just want to set it up one more. And look, there's risk-reward to it, because if you get a penalty, then it's a first down for the offense. But I thought Gobi did a great job of just setting up the rush, called it at the perfect
time.
Love Gobi,
yeah. You know what they say about Gobi?
What about Gobi?
He's very dry.
Oh, Jesus.
Here is here's Isaiah Simmons. He's the one that blocked the field goal attempt.
I think the hardest part about it is you have to jump up first and then go forward.
Right.
Because you can't touch him or else it gets called back. So just being able to get up and over. And then, like I said, once you touch again to go right back up, that's probably the hardest part, is the going right back up part.
I remember when he was coming out of Clemson, everybody was talking about how athletic he was.
Yeah, this guy can apparently fly in the air.
Right, you know, and Arizona drafted him in the first round. They weren't really sure how to use him. Like, you know, is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? That kind of thing. But, man, that was a hell of a play. When you see him in there, like, number one, he's not normally in there. That's not his position.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a Seattle offensive lineman and you're down there blocking, you got to be aware of who's over you and what they're capable of doing. So when I see an athlete in there, you're like, okay, they're coming with something. That offensive lineman has got to stand up. He can't bend down and think like everybody's coming through these gaps.
But then he would have elevated to 8 feet.
Yeah.
No, he would. Well, I was saying, like, you see how he jumped over, because what Gobi, the special teams coach, noticed on their special teams film when they were kicking field goals, that right guard kept burying his head. And he probably said, okay, Isaiah, look at this, but we're going to use it when we need it. When this is when they needed it, this is when they call it. Now, that is what I call preparation and coaching. And then you take your best athlete and you do what he's capable of doing. So we're sitting here talking about coaching all morning. That is coaching, and that is preparation.
And he just levels the kicker, too, which is the greatest nonchalantly.
You know what that is?
Boom!
That is like the icing on the cake. Oh, that is God. The dessert after the dinner.
It's great. I mean, he's not even looking at him. He's like, boom! Gosh, he cleats him into the air.
They love getting the free shot on the kicker when they can.
Kicker, quarterback, you name it.
That's true.
Kill my guy!
It's so true. So the Giants are 2-3 on the season. The Seahawks fall for the second time this year as well. All right. Jets Vikings. Jets Vikings in London yesterday, and
you guys gotta just here deal with it and stop overreacting to everything.
Do you see how much water it was?
Yeah, I understand that, but like, you guys are so narpy and you like overreact to everything.
That would have been bad if Al got hit by that.
But he didn't.
Yeah, I'd have been wet. That would have been no good.
You could have gone right in here. It would have taken your clothes, put it in the dryer.
What am I wearing? Then?
Shower, put a robe on.
Him shower.
Put a robe on, go in there and take a steam, relax a little bit.
That sounds just like Adam. Just be naked in this public place. While some stranger dries my clothes, I'll make myself totally comfortable.
No, put him in a nice robe. He's got nice talent there. They got a steam room in there. They got a nice sauna in there. You can go in there and warm up a little bit because I know you're a little chilly this morning.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I came more prepared, though, this year. I had the winter hat.
Yes, I see that.
The hoodie.
Right. You're good.
Good to go.
Okay, great. But you're not wet.
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Eddie, skip the highlight. We're going to go right to Rob Saleh talking about the Jets, who offensively, they were awful, and it started very quickly in this game.
The interception, obviously, that was returned for a touchdown kind of made it obviously a lot worse. But felt like from that point on, I felt like our offense kind of got its feet underneath it and started moving the ball pretty well. But obviously putting ourselves in that hole wasn't good enough.
I never felt like they got going offensively, but okay. Here was Aaron Rodgers. You talk about accountability, Boomer. This clip pretty much says it all.
Obviously, that was below my standard. I just found out I've never thrown two picks in the first quarter before, so that's the first. One of us cost, obviously, seven, and the other, you know, could cost three. So in a game where you lose by six, you know, plays like that are exponentially highlighted. So three turnovers for me is definitely out of character, and I'm disappointed.
Such a jackass.
Al's got a towel over his shoulder right now just in case he gets some more water splashed on him, so he's prepared.
Yeah, I'm ready because I did get slightly splashed, but not like really wet.
Okay. You had French toast, I saw.
I did. I had the French toast.
You did. Okay, yeah. Good.
I had it dry, though.
How do you have dry French toast?
Too much sugar and syrup, Homer, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to see. It was very good.
It was very good.
Yeah, though. Really nice.
Really good French toast.
Really nice.
Yes, I know.
All right, let's get to the Sunday night game. Cowboys-Steelers, two-hour lightning and hail delay. They finally got going, and in the end, Cowboys with the biggest play of the night.
Prescott in the gun. Snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert. On the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott with 20 seconds to play. Goodness gracious me.
And that was Cowboys radio, the call. 20-17, the final score in a game that I think ended at like 1:30 this morning. Dak Prescott, 352, that touchdown, another, and a couple of picks. Jalen Tolbert, the game winner. Cowboys, 3-2. Just real quick, two others from two youngsters, if you will. We've talked about the Commanders and the start thereof. Here's a Jaden Daniels highlight for you in their win.
Second and 7 at the 41-yard line. Two wide receivers to the right and three to the left. McCaffrey and Ertz next to each other inside the numbers. McCaffrey chip blocks. Jade loads one up towards the army run. He's got him! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Daniels to Brown on the ball!
I'll tell you, that, it's been a long time coming for that franchise.
Yeah, they've been bad. They've had a year here or there, but you're right.
And but not like think, this young kid, man.
I don't know how many people thought they'd be any good this year. 4-1 through their first five with their win yesterday over Cleveland. And then the Bears, they played the Panthers, and Caleb Williams had himself a day.
Safeties are back deep. Snap to Caleb Williams. Good protection. Lines it up for DJ Moore to the end zone. Perfect throw. Perfect catch. Touchdown, Bears. There you go. Deep strike and a 30-yard touchdown. 27-7 Bears. Second connection of the day with DJ Moore, and the Bears are pulling away from the Panthers.
I saw a lot of Bears radio, a lot of the signs in the crowd, you know, thank you, Carolina, and they had all the transactions for what they got for the trade.
For Bryce Young. And,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
That Panther team's going to send that Dave Canales right back to Pornhub.
Might be right about that.
You've been sitting on that all morning, huh?
No, I just thought of it 2 seconds ago.
So. Saints Chiefs tonight to round out the week in the league. The Liberty beat the Aces. They're in the WNBA Finals. They will take on the winner of the Lynx and the Sun. That series tied 2-2, and you got your first look at the new-look Knicks last night with Karl Anthony Towns in the starting lineup. And so basketball season right around the corner. The NHL season, for the most part, starts tomorrow, and away we go. Time now for Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas. Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. So last hour, Boomer was telling a story that some of us have heard before, maybe some haven't, not really sure. Clearly, Eddie has, and he used a clip of Al to make sure that Boomer knew it. So now I'm going to take you back to Saturday. The Mets win. Now, they won one game. They didn't go up. They didn't win it in three. They didn't go up 2-0. They won one game. Here was Michael Barkin on... did you see this?
I actually did see this. On, so, just NBC, so you know, yeah. I worked with Michael Barkin.
Okay. Yeah, you said
in
that.
1990 and 91 for the World League of American Football. It was me, Brad Nessler, and Michael Barkin on USA Network on Monday night.
Yeah, it's a great story for you. No one cares.
Yeah. I'm going to shove this waffle down here.
Al was sipping some sort of smoothie. I swear it almost came out of his nose. He almost looked terrified.
That means Eddie queued that up. Oh, yeah. Waiting for Boomer to tell a story.
On USA Monday night.
I just want to let people know that I did with Michael Barkin.
I'm going to guess by Eddie's reaction and clip that you've told that story several times.
Yeah, but I can't assume that everybody knows that. Jesus, Eddie.
Still very funny. So we're Jesus Al. There you go. Moment of the
very
day.
Good. Very good.
That was great. All right. Thank you, Jerry. We will see you a little bit later out you there on the course.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just a couple more minutes here from Glen Oaks Club before we hand it over to PT and Sal. That will have even more reaction to Mets, Phillies, Jets, Vikings, Giants, Seahawks, Yankees, Royals as we are in the thick of it. And, you know, 2-2-3 teams here in New York now. That's what we've got with the Jets feels and the
little,
Giants.
Feels a little bit different for the Giants this morning, of course, because they come off of a big win, having to go to Seattle, and they were the underdog. And then, of course, the Jets coming back from London, another poor performance offensively. I don't know what's going on with Breece Hall, but they feel completely different. And it's going to be a long week for the Jets, as they're going to have to be answering questions about their offense, and Aaron's going to have to be answering questions about, you know, where is he physically, you know, is he breaking down, all of that kind of crap that comes along with losing. And then for the other team in town, they should get Malik Nabers back, and regardless of the schedule, I mean, or the record of the Bengals at 1-4, they're a team that's going to come in and try to put up 30 points on you. And they are a great offensive team, and they have found their stride offensively. The question is, can the Giants' defensive line in particular play as well that it has, as well as it has played, especially in these wins that they win? Because they're the ones that are assaulting the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, so two games with these two teams, 2-3, that they're going to be underdogs in, I believe, right? The Giants will definitely be underdogs to the Bengals, even though the Bengals are 1-4, and I'm sure that the Bills will be favorites over the Jets. I can't get the FanDuel Sportsbook app open because it's just spinning right now because not great service, but I would assume that. So, I mean, if we have a great thing going with the baseball.
Yes.
But 2-4 football teams after 6 weeks is just unacceptable. It just would be unacceptable.
Yeah,
the
but
Jets
again,
got to get back to 3. Like, they got to be 3-3.
I'm not sold on the Bills' defense. I'm just not. And
I'm not sold on the Jets anything.
Yeah, Jets' defense has been good. They've been fine. They gave up 16 points this week to an offense that was putting up 30 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, so the Jets' defense is fine. It's the Jets' offense that really the last 2 weeks hasn't done what it's supposed to be doing.
I mean,
they should be averaging 30 points a week.
You know what's crazy to say? They're essentially the same team as they were last year.
Well, when you look at, and I saw one of these Instagram posts, 2-3, both under Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't even see something like this.
Both have scored the same amount of points.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just me just getting a feel of it. I didn't even see a stat on it. It feels like the same team.
I would just say that, again, it's only the fifth game for Aaron Rodgers with this group. I don't know what's going to happen with Davante Adams. Maybe we'll find out something here relatively quickly this week. This would be a great week to add him. I don't know how his hamstring is. You know, they lost again yesterday to the Broncos. They looked brutal. The Broncos just absolutely pushed them all over the field. That's a team that's in a total rebuild. That's like the Carolina Panthers are in a total rebuild. That's why those are the teams that you look at when there are teams out there that are looking to try to add pieces to make a run for the playoffs. Like, you know, Kansas City is scouring everybody for another wide receiver.
Yep.
You know that's going on. And you know Davante Adams is going to be available. available. Now, if Davante Adams were with Green Bay and he were available, Kansas City would be a good landing spot. But I just can't imagine the Raiders trading a wide receiver to the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, absolutely not. No, no way, no how, regardless of how the seasons are going. The Giants, by the way, +3.5. Home to the Bengals, and the Jets +2.5. So, yeah, both of them underdogs. So, did you see the Davante Adams Instagram story where he posted a picture of Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah, that had something to do with the Ravens. And
well,
of course, the Baltimore Ravens, the whole
because,
thing.
Because, yeah, the Raven poem, is as famous. Yes. You read into that at
yeah,
all?
Well, why wouldn't you? Isn't like this is what social media is all about nowadays with these guys?
Yeah, I don't know.
They
I
all mean, try to find something that is
can
so
can you see
random.
Him going in a Ravens?
I could see him wanting to go to the Ravens. They look pretty good to me.
Over Aaron Rodgers and the Jets? I thought he wanted to be here.
I would think that, you know, he should be able to force where he wants to go.
Mm.
If he wants to.
Isn't that nice?
But he's also probably looking at other opportunities out there. If what do you do if the Raiders come to him and say, hey, look, man, we can get more out of the Ravens than we can for the Jets, so we have to do what's right for us.
I'm sure he'd be happy to go to the Ravens. I mean, that team is
a really
good team.
He was talking about the Bills, the Ravens. The Bills could use him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, especially he didn't play yesterday, one of Josh Allen's favorite wide receivers.
Shakir?
Yeah. So without him yesterday, you could see the difference in the offense, too.
I mean, the Bills really could use him, and it's great to play with young players. But, you know, this is a long season, man. And you'd like to have somebody out there that knows who you are, what you're doing. That's what Alan Lazard is supposed to be for Aaron Rodgers. But I felt like yesterday they really wanted to get Garrett Wilson the ball and get him involved.
22 targets.
Well, the reason is the same reason with what's going on with DJ Moore up in Chicago.
Yeah.
Last week, disgusted, not happy, team won, but he wasn't getting the ball. And lo and behold, this week he has a big game. And it's not that they were forcing the ball. So Caleb Williams was actually reading the defense and throwing the ball where the ball is supposed to be
happens
thrown.
Every single week. So yeah. The wide receiver complains, he gets the ball. That's why I say squeaky wheel spot. It just happens. And sometimes the wide receiver doesn't even complain. It's like the coach is like, we got to get him the ball. Like Terry McLaurin wasn't complaining in Washington when he wasn't getting the ball. He was very quiet about it, but they're like, we got to get this guy the ball. And then now they're getting him the ball.
You know why? Because people who have him on his fantasy, their fantasy teams are getting ticked off. And they're you know,
might have something to do with it, yeah.
They're tagging everybody in social media, including the head coach, the PR department, everybody else. What the hell's going on with Terry McLaurin? You got to get him the ball, for God's sake.
PR department. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's crazy, man. It absolutely is nuts this day and age with the gambling and everything else. All right, Yanks win tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too.
They're going to the World Series. I mean, I don't even know why they play these games.
You would like the Royals to forfeit?
Yeah, right. But I tell you what, if I were the Royals, I was just thinking, because when I played in Cincinnati, we always felt like we were the understudy. Like, nobody really gave us much of a thought because we played in Cincinnati, small market city, nobody cared.
Right.
And then when I came to New York, I recognized that there is a unique difference, that when you are a road team coming to New York, you want to beat that New York team in the worst way.
Yeah.
So that's what the Royals have going for them, but I can imagine that they, in their clubhouse, are going like, nobody thinks that we could beat the Yankees. So that's their ultimate, I guess, motivation and incentive to beat the Yankees.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.